Caregiver Show. I'm Kristen, and I'm here with my co-host Liza and Rose Carney, who is with the Alzheimer's and Dementia Alliance of Wisconsin.
In our last segment, we like to ask what we call powerful questions, those that kind of push you to go inward and reflect on your personal thoughts and experiences. And so the first one that I have for you, Rose, is what are some positive takeaways that caregivers can get from this experience? I kind of think of the saying, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. What are some reoccurring themes that you see with the people that you serve?
Yeah, I think this is a great question because I think a lot of times people look at, you know, the negative experiences that caregiving has. But, you know, caring for a person with dementia, you know, you get a chance to really connect with your loved one in a deeper way and to be able to, you know, create this new relationship if that's about reminiscing about the past or, you know, even again, humor is so important in caretaking and having that quality time for a person is definitely a very positive takeaway.
That's wonderful. That gave me the chills. There's always a time in the show when someone just says something that just hits you right like square in the heart, I guess. And that is a great message.
Excuse me. Yeah, exactly. And it's also striking me that it probably causes couples and families to slow down and to be more present to one another, right? To live a little bit more in like what we have here and now, which if you look at all of the research and all of the mindfulness that we're trying to do post-quarantine, that, you know, so much of our mental health has been impacted. And what we really need to do is take the lessons from that experience of slowing down and being present.
Sure.
Yeah. What do you find though, in the situation that you're in this role, right? There is this positive spin that we can pull, right? That it causes us to slow down and be in the present, but there's gotta be things that are specifically challenging. And so I'm sort of curious about what's your biggest challenge in your role at the ADAW?
Yeah, I think the biggest challenge that I have is that sometimes I don't have the answers to these tough questions and my hands are kind of tied. And, you know, there are certain situations in caregiving where you just kind of have to ride the waves and you really don't have an answer or solution. And so that's really difficult for me when I'm on the phone and someone's asking, what do I do? And I have no, you know, straight black and white answer for them.
Sure.
That would be hard. You know, as going into social work, you want to be a problem solver, right? And not all problems have easy solutions. If you had unlimited time and resources, what would you do to support your organization, or what would your dream outcome look like?
Yeah, I think you know, resources for money for caregivers as well as people with dementia, to just have that in-home care and support, and, you know, being able to afford to go to an adult day center, being able to afford to go to therapy. I mean, it really comes down to money, right? And a lot of the things that people need and is a necessity but might not be able to afford. So I definitely think public funding for, you know, those type of things, for both.
Definitely makes sense. You got to be able to take care of yourself. The whole putting the oxygen mask on yourself first is key.
Can you speak a little bit to what these adult day programs are like for people that, so I've heard you reference it a couple times, and I know we're more of a caregiver show, but I'm also feeling like if people are listening to this and they are wondering if dementia and Alzheimer's is kind of percolating in their family, if you could sort of paint a picture of what happens when you do have dementia in regards to your daily stuff.
Right, like an adult day center, explaining
yes,
what
please.
That is. Yeah, so there are different adult day centers that are around Dane County. And I kind of see them as a step further than a senior center, but not as far as going into a memory care facility. And so this is a place where people can gather and socialize with other older adults and do different activities, as well as eat meals. And some even offer showers if that seems to be an issue for you at home. Some even offer hair salon care. And it's a place where, you know, caregivers can then get a break and they have their own respite, while the person with dementia is also able to get a break from their caregiver and interact with other individuals as well.
Yep, that was a very good reminder about how they need a break from us just as much. Every time I take Nicole to either Badger Camp or Camp Wabik, some of the camps that are out there in Wisconsin for adults with disabilities, they remind me, like, she's getting a break from you too. And I was like, yeah, she probably needs it, right? So that's a great way to look at that. Again, it's helping both sides of the equation, right? Mm-hmm. So it's really cool, all these things that you're sharing. Do you have a particular, like, one or two rewarding experiences that you'd like to share with people about what it's been like to be in this role?
Yeah, again, it goes to that problem solving aspect. This world is very hard to navigate, and our healthcare system is super hard to navigate. So when someone calls and I'm able to kind of explain things and be able to, you know, navigate what next steps are, and they say, you know, before this call, I was feeling a weight on my shoulders where now I feel like it can breathe again. And that's definitely rewarding, you know, even if it's one or two sentences or me just giving them a space to listen, it's rewarding that people are walking away with a sense of relief instead of more of a burden.
Sure.
Yeah. That has to be a wonderful feeling. I mean, especially when somebody first gets the diagnosis, or you're thinking that this might be something that you're going to have to deal with, that overwhelm and fear and all of that anxiety that goes along with it. So that's mm-hmm. wonderful that you can help people through their journey. Do you have a motto or a saying that you like to share with caregivers?
Yeah, I like to share the motto with caregivers and people with dementia, which actually was made from a group of people with dementia. And we say at the end of each of our groups, which is, you are strong, you are brave, and you rock.
I love it.
I love it. That's great. So Rose, you got into this because you were, I'm really appreciating your warm and just kind of gentle presence. And so you got into this because you wanted to be a social worker, but what drew you towards either dementia or towards caregiving? Do you have any personal experience?
Yeah, so I have a personal experience with my grandpa, who was diagnosed with Alzheimer's for 6 years before he passed. And okay. So, you know, working with him, he lived in a memory care unit, and visiting him definitely played a huge impact in seeing my mom go through, you know, sure. this role and how hard it was. And we had no idea organization like this even existed. So that definitely drew me. And also my experience working in the nursing home and just seeing, you know, what people with dementia go through as well as their caregivers. And, you know, it's more than just memory loss. And, you know, it's hard when your family member doesn't remember your name, but it's also hard when your family member is acting out in these strange behaviors. And mm-hmm. If I can be any, you know, sort of help to relieve that stress that caused my family, you know, it's a great way to give back to those who helped us in those times as well.
Sure. Is there anything particular from that time frame that you kind of lean on to get, like, rejuvenated or to use as a resource when you're working with people?
Yeah, definitely. Especially when, you know, someone's situation is very similar to the way my grandpa was, you know, I always think back, you know, if I could spend time with my grandpa now, knowing what I knew, it is definitely, and I definitely have those names in my head of the people that touched my heart working at the nursing mm-hmm. home that I always think back to of, you know, this is why I'm doing this. It's mm-hmm. for these people. So definitely.
You know, when you think of Alzheimer's and dementia, unless it's hit you, you may not have a lot of knowledge, like Kristen and I readily admitted. You could do probably endless shows on the topics. But what are some of the 101, or what are some of the red flags to be looking out for?
Sure. So definitely memory loss is, you know, one of the first things that we think of, such as short-term memory, you know, maybe getting lost to, you know, driving to the store or a familiar route is definitely one of those signs, but as well as personality, you know, changes, you know, being able to navigate space, you know, maybe there are different, you know, excluding yourself from others, you know, withdrawing from social situations. Some people even notice first signs by hearing loss that they're having, or perceiving that they're hearing something that's not really there. Maybe it's their vision. there are all types of signs and symptoms, and sometimes memory is one of the last things that a type of dementia affects. Sometimes it's that personality change that's the first sign. Lighting is a huge sign if lights seem to be bothersome for you, but it's really hard because a lot of these things mimic, you know, medical problems right. that we always have, you know,
sure.
that is normal to aging. So when it gets to that line where it's more than just normal aging, it's, you know, just so important to get checked out.
And so with your grandfather, was it something he was willing to go do, or was it something that other family members kind of had to push him towards?
Yeah. My grandma passed away a couple months before we noticed those signs, because she was covering up for a lot of the things that he was missing. So he was one of those who it was his memory, but it also was his driving. You know, he came home with, you know, a dent in the car. Of where did that come from? And actually, funny enough, it was Hy-Vee that called my aunt one day and said, this man has been in four times to buy a dozen of eggs. And, you know, we have a special place in our heart for Hy-Vee because of that, because they were right. willing to reach out to my aunt and were just very kind about it. So those were, you know, sometimes it is that spouse that's covering up those things away from the children. So yeah, we didn't notice that until she passed.
Yeah. Well, maybe not even covering up. I'm sure there are some people intentionally doing it, but just not even realizing, like you said, it's a lot of these symptoms are common with aging.
Right.
Yeah. So where would be the first stop if you started to experience these concerns on your own or noticed it with a loved one? You go to the general practitioner, and then where do they send you from there?
Yeah, so then you would ask to be referred to a memory clinic. So that can either be a neurologist or even geriatricians who are able to do a thorough evaluation. And these evaluations are a long time. They can be up to 3 hours or even, you know, half a day. But it's really important to advocate, you know, for this diagnosis, because even we have issues where primary doctors will, you know, just say it's normal aging. So it's really important that you advocate, because you know what you're like at home and what your loved one is like at home. So it's very important to, you know, push for that referral to a memory clinic.
I'm so glad that you said that, because that's so, so true. And it is true for our experience with our son with autism. You know, we got a lot of I don't think so, and we had to really advocate, which makes me wonder, is it hard to get this diagnosis?
Very, very difficult. And a lot of times people will go to memory clinics and end up with a diagnosis of mild cognitive impairment, which is also known as MCI, which is, you know, cognitive symptoms, but it's not an actual, you know, diagnosis of dementia that will then be progressive. So it's very difficult. And sometimes it takes up until autopsy to really see what type of dementia it is.
Wow.
Yeah, that's fascinating.
Really fascinating. And that is helpful to know that that's one of the things that our listeners can take away, right? Is this idea that we don't want to minimize this. And I think we briefly touched on it, but it's got a lot to do with that negative stigma and fear, mm-hmm. right? Yeah. Aging is a natural part of life, and it's fearful of what that means and what that's going to be for us. Rose, this has been an excellent and really eye-opening conversation today. I really appreciate you taking the time. It's been a great opportunity to learn more about your organization and just steps that people can take.
Great. Thank you so much.
You're listening to the Empowered Caregiver Show, and we'll be back after this message.